Thank you for that music. That's beautiful. And the choice of hymns were really beautiful. I love some of the newer tunes that you find there in the books. Precious. Turn with me to the text that we have chosen, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16. And we'll read down through a couple more verses. Matthew chapter 10. And verse 16, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils and scourge you in the synagogues, and you will be brought before governors and kings for my name's sake, and as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in the hour what you should speak." I find that very encouraging. Very encouraging. We don't have to figure out ahead of time what our defense is going to be and what we're going to say. The words will be there from the Lord. And what a precious privilege that is to go on and to live for Him no matter what the cost, no matter what the price, and no matter what we might endure for His name's sake. We have chosen these two symbols because the Lord chose them. And they speak of Himself, as we have already illustrated, the serpent. The serpent is the leader. The serpent led sin into the world. The Lord led all of humanity to a place of condemnation. And the Lord Jesus Christ took upon Himself that same symbol illustrated in the wilderness as He was willing to bring victory over death. He led the way through that symbol, and people were rescued from the penalty of the serpent. And we're thankful that He also bore our sins in His own body on the tree as a serpent that was lifted up in the wilderness. And so the evil serpent led us into sin. The holy serpent leads us into victory over sin. He is truly the leader in every case. And what a privilege it is for us to emulate those characteristics in our homes and in our families as fathers. But as well, we said the other serpent illustrates the lover. And we see there the Lord Jesus Christ viewed as the lover, one who was illustrated in the ark. He was one that was holy. He was one that was very careful where He put His feet. He wanted to make sure. It was as if the dove was looking out for the people that were in the ark. And He didn't want the people in the ark to go out too soon. I am sure that Noah and his family and his sons were ready to get out of that ark. Ready to get rid of all those animals. And ready to go on with life. But it was the dove that held them in until it was safe to go at the proper time to go. The dove is the loving bird that had a care for others. And it's interesting that when the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized, what descended from heaven? The Holy Spirit, like a dove, and rested upon Him. And the work of the Holy Spirit is to change our hearts that are full of hatred and anger and bitterness to a spirit of love. It's the Holy Spirit that brings love into our hearts, first of all, for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who teaches us of the love of Christ. And He's also the one that helps us have that same love of Christ in our lives and in our hearts for others. I've said many, many times that Christianity and the faith in Christ is the only faith that tells us to love our enemies. Every other religion, every other faith, you won't find that. You won't find that we're to love our enemies. But it's only in Christ that we're told to love our enemies. And it's a wonderful thing to see that as you read books like Fox's Book of Martyrs, as you read something of the books that, for instance, one of the books we've really enjoyed, Barbara and I, is Fair Sunshine. Fair Sunshine is a wonderful book that shows of the martyrdom of the saints in Scotland and how that they stood strong for the Lord Jesus Christ. And even some of the places where they were slaughtered, you still can go and see the monuments that are now there. And you read some of the biographies of missionaries that are on hostile grounds and hostile lands. Many of them are dying for Christ. Many new converts are dying for Christ. Why? Because they're told to love your enemy. We're never told to shoot our enemy. I'm glad. I'm glad we're never told to kill our enemies. They can kill us, and that's fine, because we'll be with the Lord in glory forever. So they can kill us, but we don't kill them. We need to give them the gospel, the love of Jesus Christ as our Savior. So that's the dove. The serpent and the dove. And they balance beautifully. There are times when we need wisdom to be careful how we live. I was reading about a biography of some folks that were in Africa. And I've seen this myself, where they would build a wall of protection around their house. Because there's a lot of thievery, a lot of robbers in the village, and as they built this wall, they would cement pieces of glass in the top of the wall, so that, and sharp pieces of metal, so that someone that tried to scale the wall would have difficulty getting over the wall because of all the sharp stones and things that were there to force them to go back. And someone said, as I read this verse, that we're to be circumspect, we're to walk circumspectly in this world, that one of the illustrations of walking circumspectly is to see a cat walk on the top of that wall. And they can put their feet carefully around the glass and around the metal and around the objects, and they can walk along that wall without getting being damaged, because they're walking circumspectly on the top of that wall. And that's, you know, our world is full of hazards. Our world is full of dangers, snares, temptations, things where the world would love to see us fall and become not an honor to the Lord. And oh, how we need, like that cat walking on that glassy wall top, we need to walk circumspectly. I'm told that in the original language, the word circumspectly means to be walking and constantly looking in every direction. 360 degrees, we walk as we go, walking and being careful where we walk. And so, this is the privilege we have as believers to love. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And so we lead as good lovers, and we love as very, very wise leaders. And how important that is. But let's look at the birds, the dove. It's interesting when you take a study of birds in the Bible. It's interesting. I remember I was an animal lover when I was first saved and growing up. I still love animals. And one day I read through the Bible listing all the animals. It's a neat thing for a little child to do. List all the animals that are mentioned in the Bible. And if you do that with regard to the birds, the dove is mentioned the most. 41 times you find the word dove in the Bible. After that it's the eagle and then the owl 16 times. And finally, the raven, 11 times. Those are the top four birds that you'll find in the Bible. The dove speaks of purity and it speaks of peace. The eagle speaks of strength. The owl speaks of wisdom. And the raven speaks of war and impurity. And how we need to look at the characteristics and see how these animals give us a little bit of a message with regard to Scripture. The first place birds are mentioned. Well, it's in Genesis chapter 8, verses 6 through 11. It's on the ark. And you notice that the raven could be released, and he didn't have to come back right away because he was landing on corrupt bodies. He was landing on death. He was landing on things that were rotten, filthy, dirty. And so he was fine. He was feeding off of that was impure. But when the dove went out, couldn't land on those things. The Bible says that there was no place for the dove to put their foot, to have rest, until there was an olive tree that began, and there was a branch that they could take off and bring to Noah to show that life was now resuming. Vegetation was starting to grow, and it would be safe for them to leave the ark. And so it is interesting, the message there between the raven and the dove. The raven speaks of the world and the flesh and the filth that's in the world and the things of the world that we might be tempted to land upon, and it's just corruption and wickedness. But the dove, it's careful where it puts its feet. Careful where it puts its feet. I had someone tell me one time, you don't have to walk all over the filth to know that it's dirty. You don't have to walk over filth to know that it's dirty. And so we see the beauty of this dove. Now, I spent a little bit of time researching a dove. I'm going to tell you more than what you need to know about a dove. I like to do the Lord's work. One of the things I like to do in the Lord's work is feed birds, because he takes care of them. He told me that the sparrow never falls without his knowledge, and the sparrows never go hungry. And so the Lord uses me to do that a little bit. And so I love to have bird feeders out, and I love to watch the birds. and they are interesting, very, very interesting. But here's some things about about the dove. It can drink and swallow water without ever raising his head. Where you notice a bird, when a bird goes down to get water, brings his head up. Puts his head down, gets water, and brings his head up to swallow. Where a dove doesn't have to lift his head, it can continue to bring the water into his body. It actually produces milk for its young. The dove is the only the only bird that will actually produce milk that can be given to its young. It raises several pairs in a season. Some have suggested 4 and 5 different pairs. I know as well at least 2 that have been raised in our area. there's no bile in the digestive system. There's no bile secretions. There's no bitter spirit within the dove. It doesn't sing, it laments. It laments that low cooing. I love to hear that cooing in the morning. It's not a beautiful melody as you hear some of the other birds singing, but it's that calm cooing, as if there's some sorrow and there's some comfort mixed in with their voice. I'm told that doves love to kiss. That's nice. They fly as a flock. They don't feed, and this is something I've observed. They don't feed among other birds' feed. They don't take other birds' feed away from them. You won't see a dove fighting at a bird feeder taking the food from other birds, whereas we have several different kind of birds, and they're constantly fighting, constantly driving each other away. But the dove never does that. Where does he get his food? Well, they peck off the ground. The feed that falls from the feeders, that's where they feed. They're lowly, they're humble, and they're not agitated to fight with the other birds for food. They often rest near there is water. And one of the reasons that they don't lift up their head is that when they're drinking, one of the predators is a hawk. A hawk will go after a dove. And it's interesting to know that sometimes that's politically described, the hawks and the doves. The dove will look at the reflection in the water of a hawk. He'll keep his eyes on the stillness of the water, and he'll see the hawk in reflection in the water, and stays safe there. They have a very short lifespan of 1 to 3 years. They're very susceptible to disease. They are the universal symbol for peace and purity. But here's something that I like about a dove. They're devoted to a single mate. Devoted to a single mate. And they mourn when they're separated. I have a son-in-law who is quite a hunter. And he's in the Bahamas. But he goes down to Argentina, where there's evidently huge, huge populations of doves. And he uses a shotgun. And there are thousands and thousands of doves he kills in a week. And I always give him a hard time. I say, oh, think of all the widowed doves. All the widowed doves that you've taken a husband or a wife away from them. They must be, of course, he likes to eat doves. So anyway, I didn't get very far with him. But you can see that some of these things about the dove speak to us of the character of our Lord and his character and his use in creation. And of course, the first place we find the love is there, is dove is there in Genesis 8 and verse 9. The dove found no rest for the sole of his foot. And it speaks to us of purity, doesn't it? It speaks of separation from that is sinful, is not honoring to the Lord. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to take that as an example to us, to never let us dwell or find rest in places that are not pure, to keep our minds pure, to keep our life pure, to keep our activities pure, like the dove, and to not allow impurity to come into our homes and our families. This is a very important role of the father with regard to the home. And I'll tell you, it's getting harder and harder. When I was a kid, my father used to be careful to see what I was reading. He used to be careful to see if magazines came in the mail that shouldn't be looked at. He would make sure things were thrown away in the trash. But today, we have little children that spend hours in front of a computer or a cell phone or an iPad. And I see this sometimes in my own grandchildren. I see this in other grandchildren, other children. And I say to myself, what are they watching? What are they filling their minds with? What is on the device that's so attractive to them? Sometimes it's simple stuff. They're coloring and that kind of stuff is good. But sometimes the Lord allows them to see things that Satan just wants to fill their hearts and minds with, that's deceptive, that is evil, that is wicked. And we live in a society where things are used to be very, very simple and very non-threatening. And now Satan is using them as devices to inflict the child to the things of Satan. I'm going to say one thing, and then I won't jump on it too much, but be careful with Disney World. Be careful with Disney World. It used to be a little cute thing with Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck and all that. But Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck have become very, very evil and very perverted and very wicked. And they will communicate that to your children. Paul Bramson had a friend who was a missionary in Chile. He was raised there. His father was a missionary. And he has gotten to serve the Lord along the Amazon River. And he has converted many, seen many of the Amazon tribal people converted. One of which was a witchcraft, a witch doctor. And truly saved, genuine, loves the Lord, going on now to communicate the gospel to other witch doctors. But he's found some things that are just unbelievable that we find acceptable in our society. And yet this witch doctor said, those are demons. Those are demons. He has told Paul Bramson that there is a brigade of demons that are charged with nothing more than to confuse and attract children to Satan. We find suicide very, very high right now in our society among teenagers. They hear voices. Voices are telling them to do things they shouldn't do. Children are being influenced by a host of demons that have been ambassadored by the devil to lead the children into the hands of Satan himself. so anyway, enough of that. We have the Holy Spirit, and he's greater and more powerful than Satan. And we just need to fill our children with the things of God and with the work of the Holy Spirit as they accept Christ as Savior. Anyway, the dove. Well, the next time we find him is in Genesis 15 and verse 9. And there we see the use of the dove to be a sacrifice, one of the animals that was used to confirm the covenant of God's promises to Abraham. And we see there a beautiful view of the Lord Jesus Christ promising to bring forth his will and his purposes and promises into this world. And you know, the Abrahamic covenant has never been completed. It's still in effect. And today, you go and read Genesis 12, 1 through 4, you'll see the Abrahamic covenant. And you'll see the promises made in that Abrahamic covenant are still being brought forth today. Not only to the blessings of Israel, but to the curses that are upon the nations that are opposed to Israel. And there's coming a day when he is going to judge the goats and the sheep. And I always thought this had something to do with believers and unbelievers. It doesn't. It has something to do with nations. They're all nations, goats and sheep. And the sheep are those that were friendly to Israel, and the goats were those that were against Israel. God's going to judge the nations. But it was interesting to see that he used a turtle dove to confirm the covenant relationships to Israel and to the world. And then in Leviticus chapter 1, verses 14 to 17, you see that it can be an offering that is used. A turtle dove or a pigeon can be that is used to sacrifice. And that pigeon is killed. That dove is killed as something that poorer people that couldn't have a goat or couldn't have an ox or a cow or a sheep, they couldn't afford those things, but most people could afford a little turtle dove. And so we see that as a means of offering of a sweet savor unto the Lord. The blood is shed. And the man perverts these things, doesn't he? You go to the temple in the Lord's day, and they were selling turtle doves and pigeons for other reasons. And so you have this view used many times. I like Psalm 55 and verses 1 through 7, where David is speaking of all of the troublesome times that he's going through, and all of the things that he's enduring in persecution, and as he's running from Saul, and all of the things that he's suffering. And he says, oh, that I could be like a dove and just fly away and get rid of all of these troubles that I'm in. And I wonder if sometimes that's how we feel too. We get overwhelmed with our difficulties. We get overwhelmed with our our troubles, and we can't find rest for our souls, and we want to be like the dove. We want to just fly away and leave it all behind us. But where is our rest? Our rest is found in Christ. He's the only one that can really bring rest. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. And so it's a wonderful place to come into the shadow of the Almighty and there to find the rest that the Lord gives. One of the verses that we have on our wall at home, as you go out our door, and Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Be still. We don't have to be in a flurry of panic and anxiety. We can simply be still because we know that He is on the throne and He is God, and He's going to bring forth what He purposes and what He designed for this world. And He's also looking after us. He's protecting us. He cares for us. He loves the saints, and He will bring about help and peace for those that are abiding in Him. And then Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16, you have there the view of the Spirit of God descending on Him like a dove. And the dove is the symbol, as we said, of the peace and purity. And so we see that Christ is the only pure form from sin that can bring us peace. He's the only one that truly met God's standard to be a sacrifice. It had to be a holy sacrifice. It had to be a pure sacrifice, a sacrifice without sin or anything. And that was the Lord. And that dove, when that dove came down from heaven, there was no other head that it could land on. No other head. That was the representing the Holy Spirit in that dove, and the Lord's head was the only head it could land on, because it was the only head that was holy, that was pure, that was chosen of the Father to be the sacrifice for mankind. And so the dove didn't have to hunt around much to see where to land. He knew where to land. And what a beautiful picture it is of the Lord Jesus, the holy, spotless Lamb of God that was there prepared for us for the foundation of the world. And then we see there in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16, it says, harmless, wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. Have you ever been attacked by a dove? No, I don't think so. I don't remember ever getting attacked by a dove. But the word harmless in the original means unmixed, simple, pure, and innocent. Unmixed, simple, pure, and innocent. And that is a beautiful picture of the Lord. It's a beautiful picture of what He expects us to be. And it's a beautiful picture of what He would like to see in the fathers and the homes of our society. We see a society that's crumbling. It's falling apart. And one of the reasons why I think outside of sin is the reason, but fathers aren't in the homes. Fathers aren't living in the homes. Fathers aren't leading in the homes. Fathers have no concern for their children, and mothers too. We see that children are now sacrificed for their self-interests. Sacrifice, whether it be before they're born or even after they're born, years later. Children are sacrificed so that parents can meet their selfish interests. And what a sad thing it is to see that. But the dove is to be that is pure and innocent in all of its motives and all of its desires. And so He sends us forth as sheep into a world to be wise as serpents, to be harmless as doves. And I think that those two things, as we've been suggesting, have a beautiful balance. As fathers within the home, we need to know the wisdom of the Lord. But interestingly enough, where does the wisdom come from? Well, the wisdom comes from the dove, the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us the wisdom that comes down from above, not the wisdom of this world, not the wisdom that is so filled with perversion and sin and reversals of what God has said. The world just loves to take what God has said and reverse it. That's a real good study, by the way, just to look throughout Scripture, and you can see what God has said and you can see what the world says. And they take what God has said and they just completely reverse it and change it right around. But the wisdom that's from above is peaceable. And it's that that lasts. It's that that affects our life in a positive way. And so what a privilege it is to see the need to emulate two things. Emulate the wisdom of the serpent. And emulate the harmlessness of the dove. And you will be a leader that has wisdom. And you will be a dove that has love. And that's the role of the Father. The role of the Father is to lead with wisdom and love with the heart of God. And I think when we do that, God honors that life. God honors that position. As I said before, we don't need to tread through the sewer to know that it's dirty. We don't need to tread through the sewer to know that it's dirty. We need to know that it's dirty and keep feet that are clean and paths that are clean from these things. And so I would just suggest that we allow these two little symbols, the serpent that deals with the judgment of sin that the Lord has delivered us from, and the dove that brings us into a full relationship with the Holy Spirit that equips us to be all that God would want us to be. Shall we pray? Our Father, we just would thank you that your word is clear, that you have instructed us, you've guided us, you've shown us what we should look for, what we should expect. And Lord, help us to realize the accountability that we have, not only for ourselves, but as we walk before our children, as we walk before our grandchildren, as we walk before our neighbors and friends, that we are demonstrating an example to follow. Lord, help us to see the people that are looking behind us, coming in our direction, using us for an example in terms of their life. Lord, help us to set the example of the serpent and the dove, that we might have wisdom from the Lord, and that we might know his love through the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask these things for your honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.